This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air from the Tokyo Dome in Japan. It's opening day as the Chicago Cubs take on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Dear God, it's beautiful.
A swing and a miss on a changeup, and Shota works 1-2-3 here in the first inning. This ball is hit in the air, right center, toward the gap. That ball's in there for a base hit up against the wall. The Cubs are going to get on the board. Scoring is Swanson on an opposite alley double by Miguel Amaya. Cubs lead 1-0.
We are back! We are back!
And the Dodgers extend the lead, now up 3-1 over the Cubs.
Shaw swings and misses, and this ball game is over. The Dodgers, on opening day, have beaten the Chicago Cubs.
You know, they could be a lot worse.
And the pitch. Swinging a bouncing ball to the hole. It's short. The throw goes to first base, and it is in time. And the Dodgers win each of the first two games of the regular season.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Well, how about that? Those were actual baseball games, people. Those were legitimate Major League, well, legitimate, I don't know. Those were Major League Baseball games that took place this past week in Tokyo, Japan. Good morning, everybody. It's spring training for some teams like the Cubs and the Dodgers. It's spring training part two, Electric Boogaloo. For a lot of other teams, it's just a continued ramp up until we get to opening day, which is this week. By the time I talk to you next week, Sunday the 30th of May, we will have three full days of Major League Baseball all across the board underway. Opening day is this week. Game on. You have made it. You have arrived. Good morning. It is Hit and Run on 670 The Score. I'm Spiegs. I'm with you every Sunday morning during the baseball season from 9 to noon. A lot going on today. A few different guests along the way. Our friend Chuck Garfine, the White Sox anchor, reporter, and podcaster over at CHSN, will join us at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Check in with him from spring training on all things White Sox. There's an awesome thing happening in town at an absolute treasure of this city's cultural footprint, and it's baseball related. And I need to talk about it with you, and the and a friend will join us at 10:25 to discuss it. I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave it nice and vague. Elise Menneker from the Marquee Sports Network, my old play-by-play partner. Robbie, did I ever tell you about the three games that Lisa and I did, the Cubs and the Cardinals in 2024? When did Pat Hughes get into the Hall of Fame?
2023, yes.
Oh, my God, it's too long ago. That series is too long ago. I sound like an old man reminiscing about that time I made it to the show.
Back in my day in 2023.
I mean, seriously, though, me and Elise did three games. We did Cubs-Cardinals. It was a three-game sweep on the way to a thrilling eight-game win streak that made Jed Hoyer buy at the trade deadline in 2023. The story always goes so much better if you don't remember the September swoon that got David Ross fired. You know, it just goes a lot better if you skip that part. But I'll continue to tell it. Elise and I will talk at 11 o'clock about the Cubs. And along the way, a few different things. We're not going to do a team of the moment this week because right now, Every team is the team of the moment. The season is here. What we're going to do is Blue Pits in a little bit with like nuggets that I have gathered from perusing lineups and rotations and depth charts for every single team around the league. I have found a reason to be excited about maybe 65% of the teams in baseball. There are plenty that I'm not excited about, but there are some that I'm excited about. A lot! Because it's the season, man. Like, I don't know about you, but like, some of the basics of my baseball enjoyment have found me again. I have found a fantasy baseball team to manage, really to co-manage with my buddy Greg, longtime listener, longtime musician, now pal on multiple levels. I am the co-manager of his team. I didn't even have to draft. That's fine. I'll step in, and now I'm stepping in. I look forward to every day managing that roster. He has invited me to be part of the team. He has no idea what he's in for. I'm going to elbow him aside. You know what I've already done, Robbie? And listeners, I already cut a Yankee and signed a Red Sox player because that's how I roll. I would rather, in fantasy baseball, I would rather lose with no Yankees than win with any Yankees. This is the emotional component that I bring to fantasy baseball management, and I will stand by that. And folks, I win leagues with no Yankees all the time. I do it almost on the yearly, and I'm going to do it again because screw the Yankees. God, it feels good. The emergence of new, young, and exciting players all around this league is going to hit us. I don't know who they're going to be. Maybe you have a clue who they're going to be, but you know that in a couple of weeks, we're going to be like, oh my God, have you seen this guy? Hell, by next week, by next Sunday, mark the tape. We don't know who it is. You might go, oh my God. You know, I didn't really check out Junior Caminero down in Tampa Bay the way that I should have. And now I would like to get myself a four-wheel drive Caminero. I mean, those things are beautiful. They really drive wonderfully. That's really a Simpsons joke about the Canyonero. It's so close. Studs would have got it.
Yeah, we know that.
He's just sitting around waiting for Simpsons jokes. That's what that guy's doing. But I'll tell you, there are some new, young, exciting players and pitchers all over this league. We don't know who they're going to be yet. We don't know. We're going to be looking around. I'm very excited about it. I have to place some big-time bets this week. A friend of mine who is he's the bad gambler. You can go to thebadgambler.com. He's incredibly entertaining. But he always asks me for my best wisdom for season totals, over-unders on win totals for a specific team on a season. He likes to make a nice sizable investment and ride it all year long. So I've already given him my one, which of course is the Red Sox over, not just because I'm a complete and utter meatball, but because they were my team of the moment last week and because I have some feelings about them. But I need a couple others. If you have a season total over under that you'd like to get in on and give me advice on, feel free to text it along the way at 312-644-6767 or an under. If you'd like to look at the under, you know what? This team is going to suck, or this team is just in too damn good a division. You got a strong thought on it? Hit me along the way. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Breaking news, should it happen on the Score, and it might, is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Coming up later on, the Cubs will be taking on the A's in Cactus League action from Sloan Park and Mesa. Zach Zeman and Ron Coomer will be on the call starting at 2:55. Cubs spring training games on the Score is sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions. You always know that your phone calls and your text messages are not merely welcome, but they are elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. And you can hop in at 312-644-6767 via text or via phone line. We are open phones for the first hour of this show. So if you got stuff you want to talk about regarding the White Sox or the Cubs or any of the MLB topics that come up along the way, feel free to do so. And we will screen your calls. The associate producer, the youngster, the soon-to-be bar mitzvah boy, Ruben Spiegel, is not at work today. He chose to attend a sleepover with a friend last night, and I'm sure they are either sleeping in or playing Fortnite this morning, and he chose that over work. It's very disappointing. It's very disappointing. I put him down. You know, to be docked for pay this week. Obviously, he doesn't get pay. Plus, the boss was there for a little while this morning. The boss, Mitch Rosen, was there. Was going to give the associate producer a talking to, set him up for his, I believe, his fourth year of partial employment. And he was going to screen your calls and talk to you guys. You guys could hear that the voice has still not changed. Maybe later on in the year. I don't know exactly when that's coming. But there is no Roopster, so Robbie Triano is solo in the studio all morning.
Yeah, I'm mad about that. I want to play Fortnite with him, but also him and I was going to plant a seed with Ruben to start our own competing show called Pitch and Catch.
Oh, Pitch and Catch.
You guys have hit and run, and Ruben and I are going to pitch and catch.
I got it. Or you guys could do some soccer programming, which is really a sport of choice, as a texter suggests. Give and go would have worked nicely for the soccer component here. Even though Modest Buzela scored 31 in L.A. against the Lakers, we are not going to turn into pick and roll at all during the course of this morning. No matter what Connor Bedard does, I think it'll be hard. We'll be hard pressed during the year to turn in to dump and chase. I don't believe that's going to happen. There is, of course, a chance along the way that we turn into bump and run. If the Bears like make a move or a draft day trade, we might morph slightly into bump and run. But here's the deal: there's news for both the Sox and the Cubs. The Sox news is bad. Drew Thorpe, the prize from the Dylan Cease trade, who before that was the Padres prize from the Juan Soto trade from the Yankees. Drew Thorpe is going to have Tommy John surgery. And it's brutal news for him. He was quoted as saying, "It feels like I worked my ass off to get back. It's kind of a gut punch. Handful of guys in the locker room have gone through it. It's kind of part of the life of a pitcher in baseball at this point. It'll be good to have them to fall back on." Drew Thorpe had surgery last September to shave down a bone spur in his elbow, trying to ward off this exact kind of thing. But here we are. He felt tightness in the elbow, said it was a new feeling, got an MRI, and here we go. That's going to be Tommy John surgery, the ulnar collateral ligament. You know this is part of the calculus when you build around young pitching. Shane Smith, the Rule 5 draft pick, who has had a really good spring, a really exciting young arm, will step in and probably be part of the rotation, if not the long man coming up here. We know that Sean Burke is going to be the opening day starter. We know that Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz are the highest end starting options, who will be at either Birmingham or Charlotte. I think it was announced Birmingham, right? I think they're going to be down at Birmingham to start the year. We know that Grant Taylor might be the most explosive and interesting young arm on that team. He's fresh off of Tommy John. I mean, Mason Adams is the guy we mentioned last week who left with an injury about 10 days ago. So, look, you have to stockpile a crazy amount of young arms and just know that these type of things happen. But it still sucks. I like Drew Thorpe. I like his mustache. I like his changeup more than anything. The changeup is really, really good. And it was going to be fun to watch him try and establish himself as a full-time big league pitcher this year. You're not going to get that chance. He'll miss the whole season. This is the cost of doing business, especially when you've got ownership that isn't going to drop a lot of money on a starting rotation. Truth be told, there is no reason to do so right now, obviously, until you get closer, to competitiveness. But this is, you know, it's unfortunate, but folks, it is what it is. You move on to the next arm, and these guys have to be thought of as somewhat fungible in terms of on to the next. Otherwise, in terms of Sox news, I mentioned Sean Burke to be your opening day starter. That's about it. There are other Sox questions that arise, obviously. But last week I asked you if you believe big picture in what Chris Getz is selling and some of the things about the rebuild. We will ask that again along the way. It's not the question for right now. One of the questions that comes up for you is, are you even planning to go to opening day this week? Are you in? Are you going to give yourself a chance to enjoy the ballpark experience when your team is going to suck? This team is going to be bad again. And it's going to be bad in some different ways than it was bad last year. I think there will be some more likable people. There'll be some young folks that come up, few of intrigue right off the bat, and a few more along the way. But hopefully the brand of veterans that you have who are here to instill work ethic and values to the young kids that matter, they're here to help you get through a season. Hopefully those guys will be more fun than last year's version of those guys. And I think some of them will be. I think Mike Tauchman's going to be a fun guy to watch. You like Mike Tauchman. Maybe you watched him on the Cubs. You're like, all right, cool. That guy works for me. You're going to see that. But that's where I went right off the bat. Miguel Vargas, that's where I'm, you know, Miguel Vargas is one of the guys you're going to have to hope on. So it's like, it's not very exciting. Do you believe in the big picture? Not that question for today. Are you planning to go to opening day and give yourself the ballpark experience? Then how do the Sox players plan to stay motivated? You know, how are they going to show up? How are they going to find a way? That's what the veterans are for, to help drive the kids. We'll talk about it during the course of the show, during the course of the year. The bigger, more interesting news surrounds a team that should win the National League Central. Nico Hoerner played a game this week. He played a spring training game. Our guy Nico had to stay back from Japan as he ramped up on the arm. He ramped up with at bats, and he's trying to find himself ready for opening day in Arizona. And we'll see if he can get there. Nico Hoerner was on the show with me, Matt Spiegel, and with Lawrence Holmes earlier in the week, and he talked about how instead of in Japan doing what the big club was doing, he was working with the AAA team and trying to get himself ready.
I think we all approach the game so differently on the routine-wise, swing-wise, even defensively, but I like the conversations that, from guys that haven't debuted that are more so just like, hey, what is Wrigley actually like, or what is, you know, favorite places on the road, or just parts of the big league experience that are so fun and I remember looking forward to so much. And that's the stuff that's cool to share and kind of makes you that much more grateful about your own experience too. So that's really the cool stuff in it.
Yeah, Nico Hoerner being Crash Davis to all those kids hanging around with Cade Horton as he does his best Nuke LaLoosh. What's it like in the show, man? Oh, God. Better not have fungus on your shower shoes. Nico's in the second year of a three-year, $35 million deal. He put up 12.8 wins above replacement from 22 through 24 and a plus 38 outs above average in that stretch. That's eighth best of all defensive players in baseball. He won the Gold Glove in 23. He should be locked and loaded as your second baseman from the get-go as soon as he's ready to go, making John Birdie a very solid depth piece instead. The other news out of Cubs camp is that Ben Brown absolutely has a shot now publicly to be that fifth starter, and I love it. I thought maybe be a sixth starter or a seventh starter, and it could be that. Or it could be as simple as Ben Brown at the five and Colin Ray as your long man. Ben Brown with an opportunity to throw innings of consequence, and he should. And I know that some folks were not happy to have seen Ben Brown in the middle of that first game in Tokyo, but it was a piggyback choice by Craig Counsell that I actually liked quite a bit. I liked it. Ben Brown for a clean inning and let him go three or maybe four if the lead had been there. You're trying to find a way to get to the back end of the bullpen, which is Ryan Pressly and Porter Hodge, and you're not so sure that you have what Dave Roberts has, what the Yankees have, what Cleveland has, which is dude after dude after dude that you can throw out there one inning at a time and feel great about. So right there in Tokyo, Craig Counsell with a piggyback opportunity. Brown didn't have it in that first inning. Settled in nicely after that, but the game was blown there in inning five by Ben Brown. But I still like it as a concept. It'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of piggybacking like that or any kind of other creativity to make use of the best arms you have. But I like the idea of Ben Brown as a starter quite a bit from the get-go. And he did have 14 whiffs on those Dodgers. That's more than any other pitcher, including Shota in his four innings. So Ben's got good stuff. Look, this is going to be a fun season. It is not here yet, but it's here so damn soon. The weirdness of spring training two as they're getting ready to go, trying to figure out what each player needs. Craig Counsell was talking about it this week. Like, you know, I'm just going to ask each guy what they need. Some guys missed games on Friday, you know, because they're not quite ready. Shota's not going to pitch until game three in the Arizona series because he had a heavy psychological lift in Japan as well as the physical lift. So they'll give him a chance to get everything in order, and he's being honest about it. And Counsell was pleased that Shota's being honest about that. So was it worth it for the Cubs and Dodgers? It's another thing that you can hop in on via text or via phone call. Was it worth it to MLB to do this to the Cubs and to Dodgers? Remember that they set MLB records for viewership in Japan, for merchandise sales and attendance in Japan. It's the largest standalone international event in MLB history. Bob Nightingale wrote about it this week. 25 million viewers. And it was massively successful for the league and for the sport. In terms of Japan, was it an annoyance for the players? An annoyance for the regular season? Yeah, maybe. An annoyance for you? I actually had a great time waking up early and watching those games. I really kind of enjoyed it. Enjoyed having Mully and Haw as my Cubs post game. It enjoyed the anomaly that those games brought. And remember that for the Cubs and Dodgers, it's very much worth it to them because they traffic in the Japanese market. That's why those were the teams that got asked. Might have been the Yankees, might have been the Red Sox, might have been maybe the Giants. But the Cubs and Dodgers are like, oh, promote ourselves in Japan? Make the next Roki Sasaki pick us? Hell yes. They were in. Chuck Garfine will join us at 10. A cultural jewel of Chicago gets some baseball spotlight at 10:25, and Elise Menneker at 11 from Marquee. Along the way, your phone calls and your texts as we get going on Major League Baseball. The season is just about here. I'll give you some blue pits, items gleaned from teams all around the league in our next segment, and we will take your phone calls and your texts all morning long. It's Matt Spiegler with you until noon. Hit and run on the Score.
Now a little bloop single, and the Cubs can take the lead.
Bloop hits with Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run.
Oh, yeah, I've been wanting to do this for a while. And the truth is, I did it a couple years ago. So I asked Robbie Triano this morning, hey, do we have an old open for bloop hits? Why, yes, we do. There it is. I think Sean Sears cut that. Love you, Sean Sears. Hope you're having a great Sunday. Hope he's sleeping in a little bit after years of working with my ass. You, though, the listener, man, it's nice to hear you. Nice to see your texts. Nice to talk to you, and we will. Bloop hits from around Major League Baseball. As I was perusing depth charts and lineups and rotations, I found myself thinking about a bunch of these things, and it helped get me excited for the season. So while we talk Cubs and Sox and take your calls and your texts, I wanted to throw some of these at you as well. You ready? All right, game on. That's the bloop, huh? There's the hit, and then the bloop. Yeah, bloop is all right, good. So Ranger Suarez was a Cy Young candidate for a lot of last season. He's the Phillies' fifth starter. Jesus Luzardo is the two. Aaron Nola's the three. That team is loaded again. Crazy loaded. Trey Turner might lead off instead of Kyle Schwarber. Boy, the Phillies got to close the deal at some point here and win a World Series. John Middleton just keeps buying and spending and going, and we'll see if they can. That's bloop hit number one. Bloop hit number two. Oh boy, that bloop. It's going to take a little while to get used to. I think the Brewers are still going to be the main threat to the Cubs in the Central again. The young position guys like Jackson Churio and Joey Ortiz, Bryce Terang, Sal Frelick, but remember, there are veterans in the rotation now. Nestor Cortez, the former Yankee, is there. Aaron Civale is there for a full season. Old friend Jose Quintana is a Brewer, though he's not ready at the start of the season. But the Brewers just play the right way, Brewers and Cubs, more so than Francona's Reds and way more than the Cardinals, in my opinion, are who are going to battle for the NL Central. Give me that mediocre bloop again, please. I'm sorry I called your bloop.
I thought
mediocre.
You said we don't bloop shame here. I know we said that off the air, but
I mean the bloop. How you define bloop is a very, it's a very specific thing.
Let's workshop this out on the air. Just give me your version of a bloop with your own voice.
Okay, the crack of the bat and then bloop, like it pops up in the air and then comes down into the nether regions there between an outfielder charging in and an infielder charging out. It's got a little more life to it. You know, it, like in real time, the sound effect has to have some and it bloops and falls in.
Where do I find that on the YouTube? Where do I find that?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Ask any number of former hit and run producers. Why does Josh Naylor seem like a perfect fit for the Diamondbacks? New first baseman there, Christian Walker's in Houston. Josh Naylor's going to bring that team a nasty edge, isn't he? And you know he's going to hit some big bombs, too. I love that guy. And I know Sox fans, even though you hate that guy, you also kind of love that guy. And that rotation in Arizona with Corbin Burns there, man, woof. The NL West is a beast. All right, bloop hit. Oh, God. The Orioles are in go-for-it mode. They should be. The lineup is full of all their young guys who've gotten good at the same time. You know, like, there's so many. And then the head of the rotation, the ace of that rotation is Zach Eflin. What are we doing? I mean, I know Grayson Rodriguez is hurt and that'll be your young guy that is supposed to be your ace at this point. But Zach Eflin, you had Burns for a year and you move on. You didn't go out and get anybody else. Zach Eflin, that's how you're attacking the American League East with all of your young guys having arrived at the same time. You can't spend just a little to put that rotation where it needs to be? Come on. Didn't even need the cue that time. Now we're starting to feel it. I love Jack Flaherty backing up Tarek Skubal in Detroit. I absolutely love that. I think Flaherty is now, like, he's aging into, you know what it reminds me? It reminds me of when Nate Eovaldi was just that dude for the Red Sox in 18. And again, and then Eovaldi continues to be a guy down in Texas. Like, that's just a big time arm. And there'll be Tommy John every once in a while for Jack Flaherty. But he's just going to be one of those guys who just, I mean, he's got swing and miss stuff. He started a World Series game. Did he start game one of the World Series? Maybe game two of the World Series for the Dodgers. And Jackson Jobe, now in, going to be a popular pick for Rookie of the Year in Detroit. Tigers are for real, man. Tigers are for real. Al Leiter's kid, Jack Leiter, and Kumar Rocker, former Vanderbilt teammates, are probably going to be the 4 and the 5 for Texas. If Jacob deGrom's arm stays attached, that team is once again scary. Two more quick bloop hits before we go to the phone lines. The Nationals' top three in the batting order is going to be interesting. C.J. Abrams emerged as a potential star last year until he stayed out all night at the Rosemont Casino and had everything come back into question. But with Dylan Cruz at 2 and James Wood at 3, I'm going to want to see that first inning for the Nationals as often as possible. MLB Big Inning, as a reminder, the MLB version of Red Zone, Big Inning, when you get MLB TV, and I think you can get it on Apple TV and some other places. I'm going to be locked in for the Nationals' top three in their first inning a lot, as often as I'm near the product. And one more bloop hit. The Yankees have played more than 18,000 games in their history, and not once has a catcher hit leadoff. That could change this season, as Austin Wells is being considered by Aaron Boone to hit leadoff. 18,000 games and never as a catcher hit leadoff. And maybe that'll happen now. That's just an example of some of the stuff that's getting me going. There's other stuff that I have for you later on some old friends, some former Cubs and Sox around the league. We'll do that in the 11 o'clock hour. But those were your bloop hits. And that's why there is no team of the moment, because I'm kind of excited about like 15 or 20, I guess 22 different teams, or 19 would be the 65% that I threw out there at the top of the hour. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Let's go to the phone lines. Ron on the South Side. Let's talk some baseball this morning as we get rolling. I need your content, people. That's how we do it on a Sunday morning on The Score. What do you say, Ron?
Hey, look here. got to deal with some more important than that right now. Tell young Ruben that Ron, who retired after 40 years, tell him to keep that to a minimum, that calling also. Tell him I said, tell him I'm expecting great things in his career. So
yeah.
Every now and then we do, tell him Southside said, keep it to him, and I'll be looking forward to having some fun.
But that's good. No, that's important stuff, Ron. How long did you work? How many years did you work, sir?
I did about 44 years, and then I retired in 2022, and I thought that was going to be a special year for me with the White Sox.
Oh.
So that didn't pan out. But I'll get to some baseball.
Ron retired to spend more time with the White Sox. What a terrible choice that was.
Hey, and I'm going to get to the White Sox. Let me make these points real quick. That National League East is going to be a beast. I'm going to do my picks. That's a tough one to call. And you mentioned the Orioles. They're just wasting this opportunity. And this is the division is theirs. You know, the Yankees pitching problems. I mean, and I agree with you. I like, you know, some of the Red Sox, but Baltimore still appears to be a favorite. But without that really ace there, even if they can win the division, I don't expect much. So let's get to the White Sox. I've been hearing that Miguel Vargas, I mean, they always say that looks good. And if you believe that his struggling was due to transitioning from the Dodgers to the Stars, and I'm hoping that's the case, because what I would like to see him at third, Chase Meerdrow at short. That way, when Colson Montgomery comes, Chase can move really to his natural position at second. You get Colson there, and you have maybe a semblance of an infield. But I'm still deciding on money, because right now I'm not optimistic. And the last thing, the most important thing to look for with the White Sox is Luis Robert being healthy, not only being healthy, producing so they can get him. So that, and I agree with you, man, there's some exciting things about baseball. I had told you last week, I thought Arizona, when they picked up, and I did tell you, which, and I verified it, they did lead the league in run score last year.
Yeah,
they're so athletic and fast.
Yeah.
They're athletic and fast. And so they led the league. So I'm excited about the season. So always a pleasure, Speeds, and you have a good day.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. You're the goods. The NL West is preposterous. I mean, the Rockies are going to suck. We know that much. That's like, as death and taxes, and the Rockies sucking. But everything else, I mean, the Padres have some injuries in that rotation, and the Dylan Cease trade rumors don't quit. But if they hold on to him and Michael King is healthy, I mean, they've got serious dudes at the front of that rotation, some big-time arms in the pen, as you know, and a crazy-ass lineup. The Giants. How about the Giants? You know, we didn't even mention the Giants. Willy Adames is there, and Willy Adames is a dude. They have the best record in the Cactus League, by the way, to the Giants, 18-6-3. Willy Adames is a heart and soul guy and is now going to play shortstop and hit second. $182 million for him. It's a lot. But, and after Logan Webb, that rotation, Robbie Ray, Jordan Hicks, and Justin Verlander. Man, I wanted Verlander for the Cubs again. I should have gone stronger on it during the offseason. He's doing the mentor thing at age 42. We know that, but he also hit 97 miles an hour on his 78th pitch last week to strike out Luis Robert. His last time out, yes, he hit 97 miles an hour on his 78th pitch. He can still be Justin Verlander because he is, as I have said for years and years, the Nolan Ryan of his generation. And Verlander is still doing it at 42. And so, I mean, the Giants are fascinating. And we know what the Diamondbacks are. We know what the Dodgers are. And we know what the Padres can be. It's crazy. And the NL East, like I was talking about, man, with the Phillies. We hadn't mentioned the Mets, but you know what the Mets have done with Juan Soto and otherwise, keeping Alonso and loading up. We'll see if that rotation is good enough. God, it's... There's so many damn good teams. Some of them are not here in town. We'll take a break. We'll continue to take your phone calls. I gave you my blue pits. Anything you got on that, feel free. As I mentioned earlier, you got overs and unders for a full season win total that you feel strongly about. I need some to bet. I'm going Red Sox over. Some other bets are coming in from you on text at 312-644-6767. Some interesting ones. How about this one? This texter says, I have parlayed the White Sox under 53.5 wins with every bet I've made over the past 2 weeks. Going under on 53.5. God, you're probably right. I mean, that Twins rotation is pretty good. We know that Cleveland finds a way to be interesting every year and to be good, at least decent every year. Told you I like the Tigers. We know what the Royals did last year and what the Royals can be. It's an interesting team. Now with Jonathan India atop their lineup. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. That White Sox under 53.5 probably looks pretty good, which says a lot about the season you're in for. It's Spiegs with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Chuck Garfine's going to join us to talk White Sox at the top of the hour. Here's a text. Good morning, Spiegs. I have a family of four. We will not attend our White Sox opening day for the third consecutive season. Instead, we'll attend our third opening day in Milwaukee. We'll take our entertainment money elsewhere until the Sox have new ownership. Wow. That is definitive. That is clear. That is anecdotal. But that is one family, and that is a big deal.
That's also a sign that as much as their team hurts them, their love for baseball hasn't died. So I'm happy about that, but the fact that they can't root for their team is really sad.
This has played out over the past 3 years with Sox fans either stepping away from baseball, watching more movies, not going to the ballpark. Chris Tannehill, I'm looking in your direction. It has played out with Sox fans finding new teams to root for. Every year, adopting a different team. Lawrence Holmes, my partner, I'm looking in your direction. I mean, this is the way that things go. Let's go to Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. Ben, good morning. You're on Hit and Run. What's happening?
Good morning, Speaks. First, I just wanted to say, God bless Ron on the South Side. I hope you have a great retirement. I can just picture him at 63rd Street Beach with his cigar. Anyway, and Ruben, that's one. Okay, I'm keeping a ledger. All right, okay. my two bets, Speaks, and I think we're going to have fun this season, you being a Red Sox fan and me being a casual Yankees fan all my years. Ugh. But I have to say that I think you can go against John Q. Public here, the under 89.5 wins. You can double your money at plus 100 if you go against the New York Yankees. I think the AL East is going to be better this year.
Yes.
They're not going to supplant.
Did we lose Ben? Okay. Yeah, Ben going under on the Yankees wins, I think, is an interesting one. Toronto loaded up a little bit, remember. Toronto's got some interesting pieces there. We know that Baltimore is extremely skilled, even without the starting pitching. We know that Tampa Bay often finds a way to compete, obviously. Because of how well run they are. And I do think the Red Sox are going to be really good. Under on the Yankees, 89.5. Now minus Soto and now minus Cole and Luis Gill. All sounds solid and thoughtful to me. Let's go to Stan from Bellwood as we kick things off.
So welcome back to Hit and Run and baseball and to you. I'm glad to be back. It's been a long winter. And I didn't get a chance to chat with you last week, but I'd like to circle back to something you were talking about last week. That poll that you read regarding the player's thoughts on who's the best player in the game.
Yeah.
All the usual suspects are there. I agree with them all. Otani, Mookie Betts, Bobby Witt, Ronald Cunha. But I think that people better start getting Ellie De La Cruz's name on those lists in a hurry. I think this is a year he's really going to break through. Have you been paying attention to what he's been doing in spring training, so far?
I have not. Truth be told, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Ellie, and it's the plate discipline. All that's missing is the plate discipline. Everything else is there.
Well, I think he's going to bust out. Now, I picked the Reds last year to win the division, and they never showed up. I'm going to go back to them. I know there's a lot of Cubs love out there, and, you know, the Brewers never failed to surprise. But because of De La Cruz and Terry Francona being there, I'm going to do what my buddy Terry Boers always refers to as betting the beaten favorite. I'm going to go right back to them. I really like that kid, and I think he's a natural-born leader, and he's got a world of talent. And as far as the American League speed, I like your Red Sox to win the American League East. I'm picking the Texas Rangers to win the West. The National League is pretty much a foregone conclusion, so it doesn't really matter who else I like. I mean, the Diamondbacks could win 95 games this year and finish 20 back. They've got a good rotation, but nobody's beating that team, Steve. Come on, on the West Coast. So I'm going to be more interested in the American League this year.
Thank you, Stan. You're the best, man. Appreciate you. Let's squeeze in Paulie from Palm Beach before we get out of here this hour and talk to Chuck Garfine on the Score. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, Speaks. Good show.
Thanks, Paulie.
A couple things real quick. I know we're short on time.
You're good.
I was the one who called you a year or so ago to tell you that Reinsdorf isn't going to try until after the strike that happens in 2027. And they get the salary cap. I mean, college football and college basketball are going to have a salary cap before pro baseball does, which is pretty sad. Wow. When that happens, the $9 million middle relievers will be making $2 million like they should. To address the guy who said about not going to the games, doesn't affect them anymore. Reinsdorf learned during the pandemic that he's better off with nobody there. There's no overhead. They're making more of their money from gambling than they are player participation. Now let's go to over and unders, please, real quick.
Okay.
You got to take over Sox. You got to take under Cubs. You got to take under Bears, but we won't. I'm a book, right? We haven't posted that. We won't post that till after the draft. So that'll be another under play. Last year we bet every day. We bet against the White Sox every game, 162 plays, and I think we won 43 units. All together, we had to lay about 1.73 on average.
Wait, 1.73 units?
The reason I called speech, units being...
Yeah, I gotcha.
You laid 1.7, not 2. We thought we were going to lay 2-1. It ended up laying 1.7 for every game. So, and they only won 41 games. So, and lastly, this is why I really called. What is the love affair with Ethan Katz?
Ethan Katz love affair is based on the fact that when he came in, he had transformed Lucas Giolito, and he knew a lot that the organization did not know. He absolutely catapulted some of the basics of their pitching methodology forward. Paulie, not a fan of Ethan Katz. It's interesting. We'll take a deeper dive on that as the year goes on, because this will be a very interesting season now that Brian Bannister is here and will be in charge of Ethan Katz in some ways. So that's going to be a very interesting relationship to look at. Hey, we can bring it up to Chuck Garfine, our guy, our friend from CHSN, and much, much more. We'll talk to Chuck next on 670 The Score.